Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking the pumpkin of humor, carving in the face of friendship with the knife of the internet, and putting in the candle of interviews. It's a scary special, James.
That is Ed Gool.
Oh, that's good.
Oh.
Ed Goolul.
Goolbull.
Ed Goolbull.
My name is James Screamcaster. And
Dead Gamble is normally what I would go with.
Dead Gamble.
Yeah, thank you.
And James.
Mames Acaster.
Oh. Welcome. Together, we own a haunted restaurant.
Yeah.
And we invite in a guest every single week and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Garth Marenghi. Garth Marenghi, a famed international horror writer, James.
Amazing writer, of course, also had the amazing TV series Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
Yes.
Unjustly cut short.
Yes.
But, you know, we got to... I think when we were teenagers, it was finally aired. And we got to see it, and it's always meant a lot to us, Ed.
Yeah.
You know, I know it's a horror series, but it's found a home in a lot of comedians' hearts.
Absolutely. And as have Garth's most recent books, Terratome, which came out last year, absolutely fantastic. I listened to the audiobook of that. I absolutely hoovered it up with my ears.
Yeah.
And Garth has a new book coming out. Well, it's actually out. It's out as of yesterday, if you're listening to this podcast, on the day it is released, because, of course, Garth's new book, Incarcerat, was released on Halloween. I cannot wait to get stuck into this, James.
It's going to be scary stuff, so be warned. Reader, beware. You're in for a scare.
I believe it follows on the story of the horror writer Nick Steen from Terratome.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm very excited about. I love the character of Nick Steen, and Garth really can weave some incredible passages.
And weave some dreams, as he's a self-proclaimed dream weaver. And this is the Dream Restaurant, so it's quite exciting to have him in.
Yes, very, very exciting. I wonder what he's going to pick, James. It would be awful to have to banish him from the Dream Restaurant like a demon.
That's the thing. Every single week, of course, we have a secret ingredient. If the guest picks it, we will have to banish them from the Dream Restaurant. This week, the secret ingredient is egg in soup.
Egg in soup. Egg in soup was, of course, a dish that was featured on Garth Marenghi's Dark Place.
It's like a fried egg
in
a soup. The egg is cooked in the soup.
It's something I've done before.
You've done it?
I've done it before.
Because of Garth?
No, I think I just did it anyway, although who knows how that man has influenced my dreams and nightmares across the years. So perhaps it was Garth's influence. No, you just get the soup going on the pan and crack an egg into it and it cooks in there.
Wow. I mean, you know. It does sound quite nice.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to...
Yeah.
What kind of soup did you do it with?
Just with a tomato based one normally.
Lovely.
You can do it with a cream of tomato. It's very good. I would say it also looks very nice on Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. It's one of the only pleasant looking things on that show. So
yeah. It's a gruesome affair, most of that show.
Yeah.
Well, look, this is a big deal for us.
Absolutely.
We're interviewing one of our heroes. I can't wait to get stuck in. Shall we just open our doors?
Let's open the doors to the nightmare realm. This is the off-menu menu of Garth Marenghi. Welcome, Garth, to the Dream Restaurant.
Right, yes.
Welcome, Garth Marenghi, to the Dream Restaurant. I've been expecting you for some time.
Yeah, did you get the message? I got my PA to call ahead. I haven't brought anything.
Benito?
It's not a real restaurant, is it?
No, it's not real. It's a restaurant of the mind. It's a dream restaurant, yeah.
And I mean, your mind has housed many a world.
Well, I mean, I thought, I'll be honest with you, I thought this was a reboot of After Dark. Right. You know what that is?
No.
No, this was a late night TV discussion, post-meal discussion that various practitioners of the horror genre would meet around a table, a round table discussion of all things pertaining to the dark arts. That's what I thought this was a reboot. So to be sat here in a fictional...
Fictional, yeah.
Yeah, imaginary.
Not enough for a novel. Just being honest.
Yeah. No, we've been told that before.
It's an okay idea, but it's not enough for a novel.
No.
It's not enough meat for a novel. Were you turning this into a novel?
What do you think we need to add if we were to turn it into a novel?
We need a plot.
Yeah.
And we don't even know where this is going.
No, we don't know. I mean...
You can't sit down and write a novel without really having some idea of where you're going to end up.
Oh, so you always know where you're going. You don't just stare at the blank page and wait for inspiration.
Not always.
You've got a destination in mind.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I guess we've never really considered turning this into a novel, I don't think.
That's wise.
Yeah, because we're here to sort of discuss what you're thinking with the Dream Restaurant. This is all going to come from your mind.
You're putting the pressure on me.
Yeah, we're drawing out of you.
Okay, but I'm not giving you ideas.
Okay.
We won't use any of them.
No, we won't use any of them.
For our own financial gain.
Yes.
Okay, well, if you're happy to sign to that effect,
then we'll
proceed.
Has that happened to you before? Have any other novelists taken your idea?
All the time.
Yeah.
Name and no names?
They know who they are.
Well, your latest novel, Incarcerate.
Let me stop you there. It's not technically a novel. It is a novel consisting of three mini-novels.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Would that be short stories?
No. A short story is between, I don't know, 2,000 and 7,000 words. A novella is... anywhere between 14,000 words and 30,000 words. These basically pan out at around 35,000 words. So it's in that sweet spot between novella and short novel, I'd say.
So it's three short novels, basically.
Three short novels.
And do they intertwine?
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever done that before, have they? Released three short novels at once?
No.
This is the first. It says, bury your head in this book and then ... permanently.
I hope so.
It's... quite chilling.
It's important to have a warning on what I write. You know, that's me giving the reader something back. A friendly warning, this could hurt.
You've been described as many things. A frightener man.
A frightener man.
A frightener man. Dark scribe, doom sage.
Yes. Archduke or darkdom. You missed that one out.
Sorry. Archduke or darkdom.
Who described you as these things, Garth?
I did.
Yeah.
No, this is about a horror novelist, this book.
It is. Nick Steen.
Where did you get the inspiration for that?
Hard to know, really. I guess most of my characters are horror writers of one kind or another.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I lent upon my own innate knowledge of the profession and forged something quite profound about said profession. But yes, I drew upon my experience in the horror industry. I drew upon the problems I've had with various people associated with the industry over the years. Yeah. Particularly editors of one description or another, and also my general readership. They have changed over the years, thankfully. Some of them were quite difficult in the early days.
Your readership?
My readership, yeah.
Do you want to expand on the difficulties you had with your readership?
Yeah, well, I refuse to sign books now. Only in extreme circumstances, because I had a very difficult period in the early stages of my career where, you know, people would be expecting me to sign... well, anything from perineum to breastage.
Yep.
That's all. You've got to draw the line, haven't you?
You have to draw the line somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I can't spend time signing your body. I have to write.
Yeah. That's fair enough, I think. Now, obviously, we're in the dream restaurant here. This is, you know, from your dreams, but you're...
I'll go with this. I'm going with this. Go on.
But you normally deal in nightmares, is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So how do you feel about putting the nightmares to one side for today and going with dreams?
As I say, I thought this was a reboot of After Dark. Yeah. So I'm not happy about it, but I will do it.
Okay. If you delved into your dreams now and looked at the restaurant, what do you see? What is Garth Marenghi?
A mess. Yeah. A mess. Lots of blood, flesh, of one kind or another.
Yeah.
Beast or human, who knows?
And is that where you would like to eat if you were going to this dream restaurant? If you stepped into a restaurant, is that what you'd like to see?
Not particularly. You just asked the question.
So, but what would you like to see then if you were going into a restaurant? A seat.
Comfortable seat.
Yeah.
A stacked bar. And hopefully a kitchen out the back.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Not a lot of people mention that there's a kitchen out the back, actually.
No, that is the point, actually. Yeah. Thank you, Gaff. Yeah. Would you be, and I think I might know the answer to this, but would you be dining alone or with friends?
Ideally alone, but no more than three. Otherwise, conversation tends to get dispersed among various guests and then I get a bit offended or bored.
Who would the other two people be if they were two other people with you? Who might they be?
My wife, Pam,
yeah.
who generally accompanies me most places. She's not here today, but she's having some new leather fitted. And our slaughterer. I have a personal slaughterer who runs a farm up near us. And I would probably have him here because he knows how best to sort of dispense with the animal and present the best part of it for consuming.
So would that be happening at the dream meal, live in front of you, then with the slaughtering?
Yeah, I like to see what I'm eating. It's last moments, essentially.
Mm.
So yes, I would probably, the slaughterer would invite Pam and I aside. We'd, you know, maybe a room out the back, you know, side to the kitchen. You know, health conscious, hygiene conscious. There would be a slaughtering area quite close to the kitchen, and we would go out there and we would select and we would watch it, and then we'd come back, have a drink, and await, you know, what it turns into.
That's lovely. I think people, a lot of time people say, you know, if you couldn't kill an animal yourself, you shouldn't eat it. And I think if you can't meet it seconds before it dies, and okay, the slaughtering.
Precisely. Precisely. It's respect at the end of the day toward the beast.
Well, we always start with still or sparkling water.
Guys. Neither.
No.
Beer or wine.
Yeah.
I don't want water. I want beer or wine.
Is there a reason for that? Have you never trusted water?
Well, have you read my book?
Yeah.
Can Water Die? That was the tagline. Can't remember the title. Bottom line is, it can't. Now, that's a frightening thought.
Yeah.
Because all water ends up coming back round again.
Yeah.
And it remembers what's been done to it.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, it would.
Because it
can... Do you think it's going to be happy coming back to you, having passed through him?
No.
No.
I guess it's like a filtration process.
But you think that's what they tell you.
Yeah. But you're saying that when we urinate...
I'm not saying.
Yeah.
Read the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you can't remember
suggesting
the title.
Yeah.
You remember the tagline, though?
That water...
Google the tagline. He can Google the tagline.
Yes, he can.
Yes. Yeah. Can water die?
Do so.
I will.
So, yeah, you wouldn't want to ever consume anything that's disgruntled, is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
That's why you want to witness its last moments a lot of the time. Mm. If you could witness the water's last moments before drinking it, say, if
well,
you
I
saw
do.
It...
As I say, it doesn't die.
Yeah, yeah.
But you sort of see the last of it pass through you.
Yeah.
So you essentially wave goodbye, but you know it's coming back. May not come back to you, though. Might come back to your nearest and dearest.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
With beer, is there not quite a lot of water used in the production of beer?
No idea.
I think there is. Does that not scare you?
Well, I'll do my research first.
Yeah. So you'd like wine or beer. Do you have a preference between wine or beer?
Not particularly.
Do you have a go-to?
Get one of each.
One of each.
One of each,
that's perfect.
That's still unsparkling, really, isn't it?
In a way.
Yeah.
It depends what kind of wine you want, I guess.
Yeah. It depends if you're having a spritzer, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
What sort of
but
wine?
I'm not.
No, you're not. What sort of wine would you like for the wine bit?
A soft wine.
Yeah.
Very soft.
Yeah. Gentle.
A gentle wine and a very heavy beer. A hard beer.
Soft wine, hard beer.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of percentage beer are we talking in terms of alcohol?
Enough.
Okay.
Enough to kind of grease the wheels early doors.
Yeah, well, you never know what's going to happen at the meal.
Yeah, so that's the point. I mean, do you know what Pam would have at this point if you're having a
she'd match me glass for glass. Or I should say goblet to goblet. Goblet for goblet.
You would like it.
She will match me. I only drink in goblets. I don't drink in glasses.
I didn't know that about you. That's great.
I can see because you've only got glasses on the table.
Yeah, if we had known, that's Benito's fault.
Yeah. Benito's the producer of the podcast. He's called The Great Benito because he used to be a magician, Garth.
Oh, right. Are you a mesmerist? Okay, well, when you are, we'll talk.
I've sensed some distrust towards Benito. Is it because
don't trust anyone who practices magic or the arcane arts.
Yeah.
You know, often they're nice. Often they're quite friendly, very friendly people at times, too friendly in the right in the wrong circumstances. They're too friendly. But, you know, just be wary. Be wary.
We're always very wary of him.
Good.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the work of Devin Brown and David Blaine?
Yeah.
Do you have opinions on those kind of like...
He's not exactly John Dee.
No. who's John Dee? John Dee?
A dark magician from the, well, probably the 14th, 15th, 16th century. I say all three because I don't believe he died. And I think he was alive before he was around. So it could be three different centuries that he was practicing in.
Wow. Like water.
Like water.
Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Garth Marenghi? Poppadoms or bread?
Poppadoms or bread? Well, poppadoms. And quite a few, please.
How many are we talking? What's the dream amount?
Five for me, five for Pam.
So is she matching you poppadom for poppadom as well?
Yeah. We often race.
Yeah.
So it's she usually comes in quite a close second.
A close second, yeah.
That's admirable.
And the dips too, please.
Yeah, are we talking all the dip? Like, all, what ones do you want?
All the dips. I didn't touch the salad dip for a very long time.
Mm.
15 years, I think, of curry eating before I actually decided to give it a go. And actually, it's a good complement to the other spices.
Yeah, when mixed with the other ones, it's very effective. Yeah. Not on its own.
On its own, you know, well, you know, it's nothing on its own. It's just a salad.
Yeah.
But combine it with the other elements and you have... You have magic, don't you?
Yeah. Looking at Benito there.
Yeah.
As our resident mesmerist.
I'm just trying to engage him in some kind of conversation because I don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
And that is a concern.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
It is. You say 15 years of curry eating. Mm-hmm. Did that start? When did that start? When did you have your first curry?
Oh, childhood, I think. I mean, it's the food of choice for the... horror writing community.
Is it?
Yeah. Most conventions will revolve around curry-based conversation, essentially, and discussion. The best conventions are where you can get a curry-based theme for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm. And only select hotels will do that. The only problem is the hotels that do that often have a bed bug problem.
When you're at these conventions, who are you hanging out with and chatting to?
Well, I don't really
curry.
Hang out with anyone. People will try and hang out with me, essentially.
Yeah.
I'll tolerate a little bit of that, but at the moment they start, you know, handing me their own novels in progress, that's when I'll cut the conversation short and move on.
You strike me as someone who wouldn't let them down gently if they tried that sort of stuff.
Well, you'd be a fool to, because they'll persist, believe me. They'll hang on.
What do they want from you then? Do they want
my
advice?
Mind. Yeah, they want my mind and they want my success.
Yeah.
Guess what? They're not me. They're not going to get it. It's very hard to break that to someone. You have to do it hard.
Yeah.
Because they do think that if they linger long enough and if they hang on to you for long enough, they'll somehow suck up some of your innate essence.
Yeah.
It's not true. Won't work.
So if I came over to you with, and I brought my, you know, new novel that I'd written and said, Garth, could you give me some advice on this? What would you say to me?
No.
Okay. And then just simply
take it away.
Yeah.
Take it away. Because if I get so much as a glance of that, a glimpse of it, you could sue me for potentially... stealing your copyright or whatever.
Right.
You could say, you glimpsed my paragraph here and you've come up with a very similar paragraph in your new novel, Mr. Marenghi. I want some of your millions. Not really millions. It depends. Hopefully it will be. But do you see what I mean? It's very dangerous. So I have to keep that away from my vicinity.
Because they're trying to trap you.
That's right.
Yeah, this sounds like the voice of experience here. Maybe someone's accused you of glimpsing their paragraph.
It's not pretty. It's, you know, but it's a fact of the industry.
Yeah.
And you guys probably have it to a certain... to a certain extent,
but we could never write a novel. So
clearly,
hence the podcast, the format,
which isn't an art form, by the way.
Podcasting.
There's a lot of talk about it. It's not an art form. It's what it is. It's three plus this guy sitting in a room just talking.
Yeah,
you've never thought about doing a podcast yourself.
I'm too busy writing.
Yeah. How long in the day do you write? What's your schedule like when you're writing a book like Incarcerate?
Well, I dream. I mean, I don't sleep. I dream. I dream. I wake. Then it is a waking dream for a while, which hopefully will turn into a waking nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
then I'll start writing.
Yeah.
Then I'll stop for what's that that Channel 4 lunch discussion program?
Loose Women.
No, that's the other one. Anyway, I turn all those off if Pam's had them on.
Yeah.
And I'll sit in the lounge and just eat. Then I'm back to writing. And then I'll, you know, finish around about 6 o'clock, call the slaughterer,
yeah,
and dine, and then back to dreaming.
So you say you have lunch. If this doesn't need to be part of your dream menu, but what's the best sort of brain fuel for you when you're writing?
Brains, funnily enough. Doesn't particularly matter what the animal is, but brain is a good thing to absorb, I think.
Yeah. Do you feel like you get any of the sort of thoughts from that were in the brain of the animal initially, or?
I suppose it depends. I mean, I don't particularly want a cow's thoughts, you know?
Yeah.
But it tastes nice.
Yeah.
Start with your dream starter, as any good meal would.
What did I put down here? Yes, a very large prawn cocktail. I love prawn cocktail and I can't stand it when it's small.
Yeah.
But this is the stipulation. Like we spoke about earlier, I want to see the prawns and pick them.
Right. Yeah, we can do that for you. It's the dream restaurant, so of course we can do that.
So I don't know how you get them in. But, you know, whether there's a tank I can look at or a trawler nearby that I can go and pick them from a, you know, plastic crate or something, a net. Yeah. But I'd like to see them. And this is all part of respect for the animal in question. You know, you get one small moment to commune with them before they get boiled. So a prawn cocktail with prawns that I've selected, maybe some flecks of lobster. Again, I'd like to see the lobster.
Yeah, of course.
I'd like to see crab, if there's some crab.
Yeah.
Bit of a, I know technically prawn cocktail is prawn, but, you know, throw some other things in there. It's going to be a big prawn cocktail, a large one. Seafood.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you see the prawns when they're alive, what are you looking for in the prawns that makes you want to pick them?
A certain look.
Yeah.
A certain look in its eye.
Yeah.
Or cluster of eyes. Yeah. You know, it's very hard to tell with a prawn, isn't
it? Yeah, tricky.
They've got all those things in the way. I suppose a knowing look, a kind of a sense of, I know what you want from me.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm happy to put down my prawn life and feed you, because ultimately what you are doing is benefiting your species.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in order to evolve your species, I know that my species must pass, and I'm happy to do that.
And you can sense all that in a look.
I'm a writer.
Will the slaughterer be slaughtering the prawns? And if so...
Ideally.
How do you slaughter a prawn?
Yeah.
Good question. I mean, he has a number of ways and devices to go to town on them. See, I could elaborate, but you're probably edited out, I would have thought.
Yeah, it would get cut.
Yeah.
It's too much.
It's too gruesome.
Yeah.
And obviously you will have some lettuce in the prawn cocktail.
Yeah, not much. Don't like the lettuce part.
So just the...
Lots of the sauce, though. The sauce is good.
The Mary Rose?
No. Yeah, what is it? Get it just in a jar. It's fine. Jar's fine.
You trust the jar?
It's best way. You don't know who's prepared it otherwise.
Do you know
Again, who? Back to water.
So that must be an issue in restaurants if you'd like to know who's prepared it.
Yeah.
You're quite suspicious.
But I will always call up in advance
and
get their CV sent through.
Yeah.
And if I think they're up to the scratch, you know, my slaughterer will approve if we're out and about. If we're back at home, then the slaughterer will kind of do it all. But if we are away, then I will get the CV and I'll run it past him.
That's good.
Does the slaughterer live in your house or do they
sometimes
have their own?
Yep. Sometimes. If we're having a heavy weekend, he'll come over and we'll put him up. But no, he's always around.
He's only a phone call away, pretty nearby.
Yeah, I mean, he's a phone call from us. You can usually hear him shouting quite close by.
Okay, so you kind of know that he's...
Yeah, you'll hear it, you know, you can hear his handiwork from a mile off.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Do you know if anyone else uses him as a slaughterer, or is it just you?
I don't know that. I doubt it.
Yeah.
I doubt anyone would.
Why do you doubt anyone would use him?
It isn't pleasant.
No.
For most people, but I'm a writer of horror, so, you know, it doesn't faze me.
It inspires you, if anything.
So it inspires me. It nourishes me.
As a writer of horror, what do you think of the genre, the state of the genre at the minute?
Terrible state.
Yeah.
Terrible state.
TV horror? You yourself were treated quite unfairly in that genre, and now when you see modern TV horror, there's probably more horror series now than ever before.
Yeah.
How do you feel when you see him?
Go watch Dark Place.
Has the new one just come out? House of Usher?
Fall of the House of Usher.
Fall of the House of
Flanagan.
Usher.
Yeah. Mike, you know him?
I do know Mike. Yeah, I do know Mike. And he has a tendency to sit around the campfire too much and spin yarns. You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm waiting for him to get back to me.
Is he perhaps going to adapt some of your work, maybe?
He wants to. He says he wants to, but we haven't talked contracts yet.
Is that an exclusive? You telling us that? Because that's quite exciting. For everyone about to see that crossover.
No, it's not exclusive. It's not actually true.
Your dream main course, Garth?
Mm-hmm. Beef. A piece from every part of the carcass, please. Heart, guts, not the balls, though. I know a lot of people like the balls, yeah. I don't. So please skip on the balls. And also, I want to commune with the animal first. I'd like to see it.
Yes.
I'd like to see it go.
Of course.
So is it also a sign of respect to not have the balls as well? Is that part of the respect thing, or...?
Do you really want to cover this?
Absolutely. We'd love to, you know, hear about the whole dish, really.
Okay. Well, I have tried the balls, but they're just obviously too chewy, and they repeat.
And the animal was dead when you tried that?
Luckily for it, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got, there's a lot of different cuts available on a cow, you know, all the different normal cuts of steak, but then, like you say, the heart, the tongue, all of that stuff, the stuff on the head that you can eat as well. What's your favourite? If you could only have one bit from the whole cow, and you can have all of it for the dream meal, but if you had to pick a favourite, what would it be?
I would like its left rear leg.
Left rear leg.
The haunch area.
Yes.
What that is on a cow.
Not sure what that would be called, but I know the rump. The area.
You know
you
the
mean.
Area.
Yeah, the left haunch.
Rump, maybe? Rump?
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is, the rump.
Why the left one in particular?
It's a little bit like when you're steering, and you know, when you go and take your car into the thing, and there's more weight on the right hand side.
Yeah,
cows are similar; they lean a little bit to the left, I think, which basically means they're exercising that muscle a bit more.
Yeah.
To the right. That's right. So they exercise the muscle more on the right, which means that is chewier and less tender.
Yes.
So you go for the left because that's the one that's had least. You know, it's the less tough side.
Mm. It's tender and soft. Like the wine.
Will you be looking in the cow's eyes as well before?
Yeah, they don't really tell you much though.
Oh, okay.
There's not much happening there. You can look at them.
There's more with a prawn.
Mm.
More going on.
What's quite good if you want a very good effect. If like me, you are prone to, you know, on Halloween, I will often decorate the house and I'll often take an eye from one of these creatures and I will conceal it in mud in the garden. On the front lawn so that anyone comes up, they might just see a glint of something, they look a bit closer, and there's a real jelly-like eye looking up from the ground.
Yeah.
Cow's best for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good.
That's a good way to scare the kids on Halloween when they...
Scare anyone.
Yeah.
Scare anyone with
I don't really like, you know, I like the key is to try and keep people away from your front door at Halloween.
Right. Yeah. So you don't like trick-or-treaters on Halloween?
No. They don't like me, more importantly.
But surely you're the house to go to. That's the one everyone's excited
exactly.
to go to. Yeah.
But I'm writing.
Yeah.
And I can't be putting up with, you know, can you what? What do you want?
Well,
take a handful of those and go.
And what are you giving them? What are you giving them a handful of?
Well, just sweets.
Just sweets.
Just sweets.
Yeah.
Any particular sweet that's a favourite in the Marenghi household?
Whatever is in the bargain bucket at Aldi.
Yeah.
Or other supermarkets of your choice.
We don't have to do balance here. That's
fine. Aldi,
if you're an Aldi guy, absolutely fine.
As a child, though, you must have enjoyed Halloween and trick-or-treating.
Yes, I did. But I was always writing. Halloween wasn't as big a thing when I was younger. You know, it was an American thing. It's more Guy Fawkes was the, you know, Bonfire Night was the thing. So there was a lot of setting things alight.
Mm.
That I enjoyed.
Did you ever... set anything alight that like really sticks in your head as like the best thing that...
Well, we set alight a local tramp once, but we were caught. Now, this feeds into my book in Carcerat, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not just being frivolous.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah.
Right? There's the third story in this, the Randy Man, that's about a tramp. Well, he wasn't actually set alight in the story. He's not set alight in the story. He's actually drowned. He works in a toilet. He's a toilet attendant, and he works in a toilet block.
Yeah.
And local kids pump the outlet pipes back into the toilet block and drown him in sewage. That was a variation on an experience I had as a child where my friends, my mates and I decided to set fire to a local hobo. Because they do light fire. This is the thing. They're always around fire.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you see them in films, they're always standing around a fire.
Yeah.
So
because they like fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying what I did was right.
No,
it was wrong.
No.
It was wrong. Yeah. We didn't know then that they need the fire to keep warm.
Yes.
We didn't understand that then. We just thought, they liked they like this stuff.
Yeah.
So do we. What can we do?
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah. How do you want this beef cooked? What's what sort of level do you want?
Medium rare.
Medium rare.
Yeah.
All of it.
If you're going to do the heart,
yeah.
Rare.
Yeah.
I like absorbing that pure.
Mm-hmm.
But most other stuff... I you got to be a little bit careful where it's come from. You don't know what can exist in uncooked meat.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful.
I can see through the glass your publicist is going haywire. I think it's because of the story you told a second ago about the homeless person.
Yeah. Well, you'll cut that out, I presume.
Well, it's up to you.
I mean, you said it's an inspiration.
You asked me.
Let's get it out the way now.
It is. There is nothing I am saying. When I say that I was wrong, yeah. I'm right. I was wrong.
Yeah.
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 What was the question when we talked about that anyway?
We asked, what's your favourite thing you've ever set on fire?
You sure you said favourite?
I think
or
so.
Or did you say
well, maybe, I think
the thing that you most regret setting on fire?
We'll have to listen back to it. I'm pretty sure I didn't say the thing you most regret, no. But like...
I think it was in the sort of area of favourite.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the...
I mean, I know that... Like,
the most vivid favorite. Thing I remember setting yes. on fire.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
vivid. But you've said that you acknowledge it was wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, it was completely wrong.
Yeah.
And, I got stiffly told off.
Who told you off?
I think his mother.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
So your dream side dish, Garth?
Turducken, which is a beast consisting of three other beasts.
Yeah.
You have a turkey, you have a chicken, and you have a duck.
Yes.
These were actually bred for real in a laboratory in the late 1980s. They fused these three different types.
Oh, wow.
And over time, we've managed to create the actual beast, the actual turducken. It is a thing that does exist. My slaughterer breeds them on a farm up where we live. So it's actually a thing that it takes a while to dispatch it. It does take a while to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because it is quite it's quite hard. You have to kill it three times, essentially.
Okay, so this is amazing. This is my
So I didn't know that.
I thought it was a bird within a bird within a bird or something, but you're saying...
That's how it's traditionally cooked. I'm saying we breed them.
Yeah.
Breed the actual animal.
Yeah. I wasn't aware that anyone had managed this. Yeah. This is...
Your slaughterer managed it.
Yep.
How does it look? What sort of elements of each?
It doesn't look appetizing, I'll be honest. One of the heads is sort of appears through another one of the heads, if you know. And there are too many wings, and so it doesn't look. Which is why it's important to kind of deal with it as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And it does take a while. Which is why I have a slaughterer. No, he's happy. He's happy to do it.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not bred into one animal. It's essentially three. There's three heads. Are there six wings as well?
Yeah, there's a whole mixture.
Yeah, and lots of legs as well.
So it sounds like all three just kind of stuck together. And
That's how it turns out.
Yeah.
Wow.
But on the plate, it is beautiful.
Sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, so, I'm sure you can handle it, but for mere mortals, that's a lot to take.
Yeah, in. I wouldn't advise it.
Do you watch the Tadukan being dispatched? Is that part of the respect?
That's the only one I won't watch.
Yeah.
Because it just takes a long.
Yeah.
No, I'd happily watch it.
Do you know what's involved?
I know what tools are involved.
Yeah.
From time to time.
Go for it.
G-clamps, workbench sometimes.
Yes.
What's that sort of square thing, the handle and a... Is it a set square? No, that's maths, isn't it?
It's got a handle, like a square, like a blade. Is
yeah,
it
has got a blade on it, yeah.
Hacksaw.
It's really like about keeping it still.
Yeah.
So you need the vice and all of that sort of stuff. Yeah. And
is there a way that you like your Tadukan cooked and presented for you?
I mean, I like that cooked very well.
Yeah.
Okay. You know. It's three different birds, you know? Mm. So, and bird is, you've got to cook bird well.
Mm.
So,
you've got to cook bird well?
Yeah. Cook it three times as long if you need to.
And are there any seasonings on it or any spices on it or anything like that?
Just salt and pepper.
Salt and pepper.
Lovely. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
But there's enough flavour going on.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They compete and they contrast and they complement.
Yeah.
So just salt and pepper.
And will that go well with the beef, do you think?
I don't care. For me, it will. I mean, I wouldn't serve it to anyone else. Yeah. But I like to have, you know, I always get that thing when I'm eating. You know, you have the meal and you get instant regret. I wish I'd ordered that one instead.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what, you know, and the answer to that is order two. Order one as a side dish.
Mm-hmm. I don't, you don't strike me as a man with regrets who dwells on the past or any regrets.
No,
you move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Grudges.
I'm slightly regretting the discussion we had earlier.
Yeah,
yes.
We're aware of that. And we know you'll probably try and get us to take it out, but like...
It's too late.
We've got you
on
mic saying it's fine for us to include it.
Yeah.
So...
And also, I think it's interesting to hear the background to the Randy Mann story.
It is. So. Let me just give you a little bit of clarification for that before you all.
Over to his book.
Right. So let me find the offending passage.
You finding the Randy Mann?
The Randy Mann. Have you read it? Have you read this, guys?
We got given it today. We definitely will read it. We're big fans.
Only just been given it
of the genre.
Janina. Here we go. Okay, look. And this, you have to. Remember, this is actually quite painful for me to read this because I drew on my guilt.
Real life experiences, yeah.
Yep.
Roz suddenly realised as she turned her head away from the demon's terrifying weapon toward that squat building on the far side of the green that the rancid reek factory was none other than Randy's home. A disgusting public convenience. The local gents in Dankton Park was where Randy had been drowned by a local gang of youths. He'd later emerged as a hideous dream demon, hell-bent on supernatural revenge. And, she thought desperately as she sought to evade the pursuing demon, there would have been no Randy Man novels at all if Roz hadn't advised Nick to add one crucial element. No run of ever popular sequels, no Randy Man 2, Nightmare in Danktown, no Randy Man 3, Mirror Streaker, no Randy Man 4, Night Stench, no Randy Man 5, U-Benders, a.k.a. U-Bend or U-Break, nor all those other terrifying toilet attendant-based horror novels leading up to the final installment, Randy Man 17, Death Plunge Sally. None of these would have existed if Roz hadn't advised Nick to make one small change. See, the whole point of this is that Nick wrote a book where you didn't feel for the Randy Man, Randy Streak.
Yeah.
Roz, as his editor, advised him, you have to have sympathy here. The Randy Man was a victim, okay? Yeah. Randy Streak is a victim. That is the lesson I had to learn, as well as Nick.
Yeah.
That he wasn't just the boogeyman. You know, the Randy Man was not just a demon.
Mm.
He was a person who'd been badly treated, okay? That is the lesson that the book is about. And that is what I draw upon when, you know, when I refer to what happened all those years ago.
That's fantastic. Also, you seem to be, through your writing there, critiquing the film, you know, horror films. And what would you think of, like, a lot of the modern-day horror films and...
Franchises.
Not much, if I'm honest.
Saw a film called Possum. Have you seen that? The horror film?
I have seen it. I watched it once.
What do you think of it?
Very slow.
Yeah. Your dream drink, Garth?
My dream drink is, well, it depends what I had earlier. If it wasn't wine, I'll have the beer. If I had the beer earlier, I'll have the wine.
Oh, I thought you were having both the beer and the wine to start the meal.
Oh, that's true, isn't it? In which case, I'll have a potion.
Any particular type of potion?
Ask him.
Yeah.
Benito should know.
Benito could dealer's choice. He can give you whatever potion you want.
Yeah, within reason, Benito, okay? Rustle me up something interesting, but not dangerous, okay?
In your ideal world, what effect would the potion have on you?
Oh, I would like it to expand time. There's not enough time for me to write all I need to write. There just isn't.
Yeah.
Having said that, I do believe in reincarnation. I do know that I will be reincarnated as another writer. Yeah. I was a writer in a previous incarnation. So, but it's just a bit annoying to have to die and then start the process again because you waste those valuable years, you know, from 0 to 20, 25, where you are, you know, growing again as a human being.
And getting used to curry again.
All of that. Learning the lessons of who do you not, or who do you, you know, play with fire with, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't want it.
No, I mean, I've learned that lesson.
Yeah. Do you know who you were in the previous incarnation? What sort of things you would write?
I don't know his name. I know of his work. I can't say any more than that.
Okay.
Are you a better writer than him?
I like to think so.
Do you think when you come back again, you'll be an even better writer, or do you think that's not possible?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
It all depends whether mankind has evolved enough to understand and learn from the work that I'm doing at that stage, which I doubt.
So relatively speaking, you might be as good because you evolve with each stage of evolution.
Yeah.
You improve, but relatively you're still like as good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't evolve because I am evolved. I'm here. I'm a sage. I'm a doom sage. You know, I'm here to help and facilitate your minds heading towards the next stage of evolvement.
Yeah.
So I don't necessarily need to evolve, but you guys certainly do.
Yes. Well, thank you as well for helping us.
That's okay. That is a step towards evolving.
Thank you.
Learning to say thank you and recognizing when your life has been improved.
Notice you sometimes occasionally glancing at Ed's tattoos.
Yeah. Why did you get those?
Just thought they looked nice. Mm-hmm. I like the artists. Just, you know, collect them. I've got a really scary one here, Garth. You might like this one.
It's quite scary.
Look at that demon there. What do you think of that?
That looks like something you've covered up to change. Was it an old girlfriend?
No. No, this is the original. This is the original piece.
Ah, okay.
It's got teeth coming out of its neck there. Nice idea, isn't it?
Quite similar to a story I once wrote.
Oh, really?
Did you get that checked?
No, I didn't. I should have asked the artist.
You
really,
should. Whether, you are going to have to get that changed potentially again.
What was the story?
Because it's an infringement.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm on Garth's side with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know the story.
It sounds like you do.
I don't need to point it out.
I mean, I didn't, you know, it was the artist who came up with the...
They know the story.
I think they probably know the story. Sorry, Garth.
I'm surprised we haven't, you know, we've moved on to the drink here and, you know, we've got dessert around the corner, but like, I'm assuming we've left the savouries behind. And as a fan of your TV show, I was kind of slightly disappointed not to see broccoli on the menu.
Yeah. I won't touch it.
You don't like it.
Joe, you know, you might think that was a frivolous moment. Uh-huh. I was deadly serious. I don't touch it.
Yeah.
So you do hate it.
I don't hate it. I tire of it. Mm-hmm. Actually, I do hate it. Yeah. I do hate it.
Yeah. You can do great things with, you know, tender stem broccoli. Now you can char grill it and it gets that sort of smoky.
You can dip it in cheese.
Yeah.
Hot cheese.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Like that as well. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, tender stem wasn't as big when you made the series originally. Tender stem broccoli wasn't really a thing. It wasn't in the zeitgeist.
That's right. I think tender stem came about because of that show, in fact, for that episode. I think people realised they had to do something. Thus, tender stem was developed.
That must feel good to know that you've made a positive change in the world.
I just wish we'd phased it all out as a vegetable.
Mm. That was the aim.
Yeah.
That was the true aim.
What other foods would you phase out apart from broccoli?
I would phase out... ice. But I don't need to because that is happening.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's comforting to know.
Yeah.
Do you want another water? You just.
I would like another water, yes, please.
Some listeners might spot an inconsistency here.
I'm still fearing it.
Yeah, so you're not. Yeah, okay. It's not a pleasant experience for you drinking the water, but you're on your second glass.
I'm doing it because you haven't provided beer or wine.
Or potion.
Or potion.
Would you like the potion to be smoking? You know, in some horror films, there might be some smoke coming off of the top of the...
Yeah, maybe a little umbrella in the top as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's nice.
If you want.
Cocktail umbrella in it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the goblet, of course, as well.
In a goblet, yes.
In a goblet.
You never told us about the goblet. You never described the goblet. What's the one at home like?
Oh, it's large.
Yeah.
It's long. Often it will require two arms to lift. But it is, I think, genuine Nordic.
Oh, wow.
Or genuine Viking, at least.
Yeah. Where did you lay your hands on it?
Gift shop. Up in Reykjavik. Yeah, it was a gift shop there.
Was the gift shop adjacent to a tourist attraction?
A hot spring.
A hot spring.
Yeah.
Nice.
I can't imagine you in a hot spring, Gaff.
Oh, well, now you can. That's why you're not a writer.
Yeah, yeah. My imagination is limited to what's in front of me, I guess. I can't really. Because I guess you could look at any of us and imagine us in any scenario.
Yeah, I can.
If you were to write a book about Benito, for example, what situation do you think would best suit him?
A man who wanted it all and took it, then paid the price.
That's great.
Yeah, I can imagine him in that situation now, only after you've said it.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's quite a... I would read that book.
Yeah.
But now if you do write that book, do you think we would maybe have like a... Well, Ben would know that it was based on him.
I'm not writing it.
No.
But I am copywriting it. You cannot have that idea.
Right.
So that's, we can't have that.
We can't have the idea of a man who wants it all and took it and then paid the price.
No.
No.
That's my... I'm copywriting that.
Those exact words.
Copywriting that whole plot development. I'm copywriting story.
A man
you got to now because that's what AI are trying to do.
Yeah.
They're trying to copyright.
Are you worried about the rise of AI?
I'm worried about the rise of copyright plottage. Plottage, copyright theft.
Yeah.
You know, if you steal plottage, it leaves writers pretty stumped. I'm not so much frightened by the technology because I can always lift a hammer or something like that and I can smash the screen if I want.
Yeah.
You know, if there's going to be a fight between me and AI, ultimately I'm going to win.
Yes.
Because you're effectively speaking about a screen.
Yeah.
An inert screen.
But of course, you remember from Teratome, the typewriter was very much the evil demon figure. So technology, but technology can be quite terrifying.
It can,
but you can smash it.
You can smash. I mean, I could smash these mics if I want. I could smash the recording.
Yeah.
Well, I could, couldn't I?
You could.
You could.
You could smash them.
Yeah.
The recording's digital, so it's like on loads of, you know, it can go everywhere.
I can go round and smash everyone's if I want.
Yeah.
So you'd have to smash everyone's in the world.
Time permitting, but it could be done. This is what you've got to remember. Time permitting.
Yeah.
That's why I argue so much for the extension of time. This is the one thing that holds things up. Time permitting, we could go around and break everyone's computer screen in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And on a space station if we wish.
Yeah.
But it's just that it's time. It's the crucial element. It always is. We fall down on time.
Which is why you've got the potion. You can expand time.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if you smash all the screens, then AI goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end. That's where AI is.
But then you come back to me. You still want stories. You people will need stories. Yeah. Human beings need stories. They need tellers of time. Tellers of tales.
Yeah.
Okay, which is what I am. In order to evolve, you'll come back. You know, AI can't copy my thought process. You know, it can't tell a tale the way I tell it.
Yeah.
It can't come up with, for example.
Yep. It's going into the book again.
Yeah. No! Yelled the voice of the Nullifier, raging inside Nick's mind. This cannot be! I was about to wreak ultimate havoc on that very plane of existence. I was that close to causing total ultimate destruction, and then you came along. How dare you!
Wow.
Wow.
You see?
Yeah, AI wouldn't be able to come up with that.
Or the Randy Man, it can't come up with the idea for the Randy Man. Where did you get the idea for the Randy Man?
Well,
we know that.
I was afflicted for some time with,
I mean the name really in the, the sort of.
Oh, where did the name come from?
Yeah, and the sort of the Randy story.
I was talking. I was afflicted for some time with a series of stonkons, which the only thing that got me through it was to actually write about it. So I came up with this. Have you seen the Randy Man streaking through the night? Have you seen the Randy Man flashing them a fright? Wrapped up in his Macintosh with his grubby trilby. If you aren't now dead in bed, then pretty soon you will be. Watch out for the Randy Man who's living in your pillow. Beware his grubby Macintosh when both flaps start to billow. 17 times, Nick remembered. Say his name 17 times and he'll appear. And if the legend was true and you happened to catch sight of whatever the flashing dream demon kept inside that billowing rain mac of his, then blood would rush instantly to your extremities. The body's internal temperature would rise suddenly under the collar area, and before you knew it, you were dead from exposure. Not the weather-related kind.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's amazing.
To your knowledge, is there any other story that's similar to the Randy Man?
No.
Your dream dessert, Garth.
Kedgeree. Now, technically, that is still a savoury dish.
Yes.
Okay, but I have a meat tooth, not a sweet tooth. Okay, I don't like sweet stuff. So I would go for kedgeree, I don't want to select my haddock.
Okay.
I don't. Haddock actually frightens me a bit. I did a series of haddock not related horror novels back in the 90s and the 80s. Night of the Haddock. Have you read that one?
Not yet.
No.
I will.
I'm working my way back through.
It's out of print. Yeah. And then there was Haddock 2, More Killer Haddock. Well. Did you read that one?
No, I'm going. I've not got to the. I'm going backwards, so I've not got to the Haddock ones yet.
Haddock 5, The Haddocking. No, there was that.
No,
we didn't publish that one in the end, actually. Afternoon of the Haddock. That was quite a good one because that was the time you least expected the Haddock to attack.
Of course,
yes, that's when you got your guard down.
Yeah.
So yes, Haddock. So I don't want to. I don't really want to see them.
And it's got to be smoked as well for Kedri, right?
So yeah, I do.
It'd take a while.
Lots of curry powder. Put in too much curry powder.
Yeah.
Because quite often guests don't like it too spicy.
Yeah.
Which means there's more left over the next day.
Yeah.
If you put it in and they avoid it, it means you've got lots left.
Yes.
But do you like it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got that much curry powder in it.
Love it.
James loves sweet stuff. So when a guest comes on and doesn't pick a proper dessert, sometimes he can get quite angry, can't you, James?
I usually get very angry when a guest doesn't choose a proper dessert. But I will.
How angry?
Furious. I've screamed at them.
Physically? Violent?
No, I guess the...
You've never physically attacked anyone.
I closed my laptop screen once when doing it over Zoom.
Yeah.
So that was physical. But if something's stopping me from getting angry at you, I think there's a chilling presence and there's something that tells me that it wouldn't end well for me if I was to scream. Well, I mean, obviously, I think it's a
I mean, you shouted earlier on. You barked a couple of things.
Yeah.
You have a bit of a rage issue.
Yeah, definitely with desserts, there's a rage issue. And I'm probably going to get angry about this later.
Yeah.
I mean, I am a bit angry about it now that you've chose fish as your dessert.
Interesting.
Because, like, you've had a lot of meat and a lot of... Even you've had a lot of seafood in your starter, so to end on Kedri seems insane to me that you wouldn't...
I am the guest.
Yeah. You are the guest, and obviously you can do what you like. I can't change
Garth's,
that.
It's Garth's dream restaurant, so... Garth can pick whatever he likes.
Yeah.
I think Kedri for dessert sounds lovely. What a treat.
You've already had like a seafood medley for your starter. You've had beef from a cow and a turducken. And now you've got Kedri coming up for dessert, which is
what about an after-dinner mint?
Yeah, I would be happy if you had an after-dinner mint. That would be nice.
I think you can have that as well as the Kedri, though. I think after-dinner mint would be a lovely way to round off the whole evening. Yeah.
And a bottle of, what's that,
Pepto-Bismol.
Something that, you know, you need that's quite a nice dessert. You know, get an aniseed tasting one. You know, when keep it down.
Yeah.
The heartburn.
Yeah.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's usually my dessert of choice.
Pepto-Bismol and an after-dinner mint.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's lovely.
Does that qualify?
Well, I'll take it. It's after the Kedri.
It's like a digestif, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
I have hopes for you.
Great. I could be a writer.
Yeah. Well.
I've written a book.
Have you?
Yeah, it's not a novel, it's about me.
It's a memoir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yes, technically a book. Yes, go on.
It's coming out the week before yours, actually.
Right.
How do you feel about that? We're
going
to be going...
Well, we're not competing, are we?
We're going to be going head-to-head in the charts.
Yeah, but this is horror. Is yours a horror-related memoir?
No.
Is it about that tattoo?
No, I don't think the tattoo comes up, actually. It's about food.
It's about food?
Yeah.
He knows his lane.
Ah, is it themed along this podcast?
This podcast comes up,
yeah.
But I'm holding some of that back as well, so we can do our own book.
Ah,
yeah.
How do you feel about his book?
I haven't read it yet. I'm looking forward to reading it. You know, Ed's a very funny comedian.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'd be a very funny memoir. I've always enjoyed hearing stories of him as a little boy, choosing what to eat. He had a very advanced palate.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you eat?
Poached salmon.
Mm-hmm.
Ate that when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't like, I never liked kids' menus or anything like that. So it's about me being a precocious child. But I was just wanting to get it out there now just so there were no hard feelings when the books came out.
No hard feelings here, pal.
Good. Do you think we have any crossover with our audiences?
No, none at all.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is going to be choosing between those two books.
They'll have a hard time with this podcast. I mean, they'll be going, how did these guys meet?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess a lot of your fan base will probably listen to this podcast and it'll be the first time.
Readership.
Your readership. Yes. And they won't have ever listened to this podcast before.
Well, I mean, I didn't know who you were.
No.
Did you do any research when you heard you were doing
this? None.
No. Did you do After Dark when it was on the first time?
I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did it go well?
Went very well.
Who were you on with?
I was on with Jimmy H, Stevie K, Clive B, all the greats.
And what did you discuss?
We discussed the Fontos steak.
Yeah. Was it a shock? Forgive me, because I never saw After Hours. Was it
After Dark?
After Dark.
Yeah. Was it a show where someone won at the end? Did you win?
Well, if you took away a nugget of insight, yeah, then yes, you were a winner, I'm sure. Yeah. The world won when we chatted horror, when we talked horror, the world won.
And do you respect all of those practitioners of the dark arts?
Of course, yeah. Yeah. We're all great pals. Yeah.
You still speak to Stevie K?
I speak to Stevie K. Speak to them all. Good guys. Great guys.
I didn't hear any women on the lineup there.
There weren't any, I don't think.
No.
Or I didn't notice them.
Okay.
Are there any great female horror writers around now?
I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Yes. Yeah.
But you don't get involved in all that.
What do you mean get involved?
Do you read other authors' books?
I don't have time to read anyone else.
Because you're writing.
I will reread my own books every so often.
Yeah.
You know, there's usually something in there I've missed first time round.
And you're aware of the, there's like a theory that all of your work exists in the same universe?
Expand.
Well, just like in the Tarantino films and people say it all exists in one universe together.
Well, we are all in one universe together.
Like, I guess with Stevie K's books as well, people say they're all within the same universe as well.
But
with fiction, I guess you could, you know.
Especially with like horror.
Yeah, with horror, you could say, you know, this thing's happened, but then in the next book, it could be set in a sort of parallel universe where the thing in the last book didn't happen.
Yeah.
Because if there was a book about aliens invading, you write the next book, you're going to have to start from scratch again with the world, because otherwise all the people would be talking about in the next book would be about the aliens invading in the previous book, if you see what I mean.
I don't.
Okay.
Well, like, you know, for example, would the hospital in Dark Place exist in the same universe as the Randy Man?
Why not?
Well, exactly, but then that would mean the characters in Randy Man know about Dark Place, know about all of the goings on there, because that would have shook the world, surely, what happened in that hospital. Like, that wouldn't be a secret, would it?
No.
So, like, we're just asking.
This seems to be a very pointless discussion. Why do you care?
Well, people like it when it's like.
Yeah, when things are all. Like, and there's. Are there any.
Do you need them to be in this? Do you need them to know?
It changes everything, doesn't it?
But are there any little Easter eggs in some of your books that refer...
Easter eggs?
Easter eggs, yeah.
Why would I put an Easter egg in my book? It would mess up the pages. What are you talking about?
Easter egg is a term meaning like a little clue in one of your books that maybe is a reference to a different book that you've written that ties them all together.
Right. I think, gentlemen, what you are trying to say is there any kind of hidden meaning in my books? Is that part of what you're saying?
Well, do they interlink in any way?
I think you're overthinking. Mm. Right? I think you're overthinking. A book is a book.
Yeah.
It's got a story in it. It's got a hero.
Yeah.
It's got a demon. And it's like, you know, if someone picked up, for example, my first book here, Terratome, which is about a man who, Nick Steen, who doesn't fall in love, but he falls into lust with his cursed typewriter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have questions from people like you two guys saying, you know, what's this about? What does it represent?
Yeah.
Okay. It's like Sigmund Freud looking at it going, what does this typewriter mean, Garth? Uh-huh. What is it about? What does it represent? Doesn't represent anything, Sigmund. It's a guy shagging a typewriter. That's all it is. That's his problem.
There's no deeper meaning
There's no deeper meaning. So I can't see why you need to have Nick Steen. It depends. I mean, he meets someone who's very similar to Rick Douglas, for example, mm-hmm, in Dark mm-hmm. Place, in Terratome. But I'm in control of that. It's a little raised eyebrow. Hey, I know and you know who this guy is.
That's what I mean by an Easter egg.
And it's not an Easter egg, though, is it?
All existed in the same universe, because if Rick Douglas is walking around in both.
Again, I think you're right. I think you're overthinking it. It's an act of respect to the reader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give him a little nod.
But then the nod is saying,
go on.
This is all in the same universe.
Yeah.
No, the nod isn't saying this is all in the same universe. It's saying, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
It's saying hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
Hi. Yeah? Or if it was in print, it would be, hey, hey, hey. H-E-H, H-E-H, H-E-H. You know, it's that kind of moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to read your menu back to you now and see how you feel about it.
Yeah. I'm actually feeling a bit full up thinking about it.
Yeah. There's a lot there.
Water, you would like two goblets, one full of soft wine, one full of hard beer.
Yep.
You would like five poppadoms of all the dips.
Yes, please.
And Pam's matching you there for that.
Yep, in a race.
in a race. Starter, a very large prawn cocktail with prawns that you have seen and selected yourself. Flecks of lobster and crab also.
Yep.
Killed by your slaughterer. Main course, beef. You would like a piece of every part of the carcass, not the balls. Medium rare. Heart rare, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also killed by the slaughterer. Side dish, tadukken. Very well cooked. Slaughter again.
Purebred. Yeah.
Purebred.
From the slaughterer's farm, mm-hmm. right? Yeah.
Drink, goblet of potion chosen by Benito. Mm-hmm. Hopefully one that can expand time.
Yep.
Dessert, you want kedri. Very curried kedri. And then after, you would like Pepto-Bismol. And then after dinner, mint.
That's correct.
How do you feel about that? Hearing it back?
Well, lovely. Yeah.
Yeah, sounds delicious.
Count Pam and I down. We're coming to that.
And would Pam match you all the way through?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, she'd probably hog most of the prawns, I think.
Would she?
Yeah.
She's got a good appetite. A
healthy appetite.
Yeah.
And just for our generation of comedians, you know, we all have watched Dark Place many times over.
Mm-hmm.
So I should probably ask, how are the rest of them? The rest of the Dark Place?
How are the rest of the people that are in Dark Place?
Yeah. Oh, I know one of them's
Dean Lerner is serving time. Todd Rivers is working for Armitage Shanks. And parts of Madeline have been found under a car park in Milan.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm laughing at that. That's tragic.
I was hoping to go and dig them up. Uh-huh. But unfortunately, at exactly the same moment, parts of Richard III were discovered under a car park in Leicester, and the TV crew that were with us, Upton went off to Leicester to cover that, and funding fell through. But I would like to, I'd like to bring back what we can, because I think if we put what's left together, we could probably get her going again through stop motion, and maybe make another film. Contractually, she still owes me.
That's exciting. Thank you so much, Garth.
Well, thank you very much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Garth.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry it wasn't After Dark.
I am too.
Yeah, but we've had a great time.
Yeah, we've had a great time. We're very much looking forward to reading the book. And,
yes.
Yeah. Well, there it is.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Do read it.
Yeah.
Who will?
Yeah, right.
Well, there we are. Chilled to our cause, James.
An honour. Thank you, Garth, for coming in.
Thank you.
What an honour.
Yes.
Thank you for not choosing egg in soup as well.
Yeah, there was...
Couldn't have gone better.
Yeah, there was no... there was nothing that didn't have an animal product in it, I don't think.
Yeah. There was nothing there that wasn't going to...
Yeah.
And egg in soup was never going to come up.
Egg in soup was never going to come up.
Unless the duckins lay eggs.
Yeah, they might do, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't think he didn't want the egg. He just wanted the flesh of the tadukken. Yes.
Too late to ask now.
He's gone, and I'm not sure he'll necessarily want to hang out with us afterwards.
He didn't. He left immediately.
He went immediately
to say goodbye.
Yes. But don't forget, the Garth Marenghi's Incarcerat is out now. Go and get it. It's available in traditional book form. It's also available in audiobook. Do go and get it because it is fantastic.
And you have a week to read it. Because then you need to start reading Glutton, The Multi-Course Life of a Very Greedy Boy by Ed Gamble.
Well, mine actually is out.
Huh?
Mine came out before Garth, so it's actually, it came out before Garth, so
yes,
it,
but
it is out now. Glutton,
it's the thought that counts there.
It's a thought that counts.
I'm a friend.
But good now friend. Me and Garth are warring authors now, of course.
So yours is out. Glutton
yes.
is out.
Yes, Glutton's out.
I've read it.
Yeah, James has read it now as the podcast goes out. I'm sure James has read it.
Yeah.
But I cannot wait for Incarcerat personally. So do.
So you have a week. You had a week to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now this one's out.
Yes. So go and get both of them. Thank you very much for listening to Off Menu. We'll be back next week with another dream guest for the Dream Restaurants.
Don't go having nightmares.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.